You are tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio.
China boy. March, buddy. That's right, China boy.
Everybody's local folk somewhere tonight, and I had an entire band with me in Studio B pre-recording the interview that you're about to listen to tonight on Local Folk. It is a first. Just as a side note, you'll see in the interview that we go searching around for a song that seems to have been misplaced. Well, we found it. We found it later on, and I made it into a song. These guys are local folk of the world. There is from as far away as Japan, L.A., New York, Florida, and Louisiana. Actually, the fellow from L.A. was originally from Louisiana. But still, I mean, they're from all over the world, and they are all together for the love of the music. And it's great. I had a blast chatting with them, and I'll introduce who they are in a moment. But first, I have a few announcements. Now, I'm going to try to make this work here. I don't think I've done it before, but listen, Jesse Carolina and the Hot Mess is their name, and they're a New York-based ensemble specializing in American music from the late 1800s to the 1930s, primarily jazz and blues, reminiscent of the Ziegfeld Follies, the Great American Songbook, and the early Medicine Show. I really hadn't heard much of it. I remember a band called the Squirrel Nut Zippers, and they did something similar. But when I was here in Portsmouth last night hearing this stuff, I said, oh, my gosh, man, maybe I can get to talk to them on the air. Well, I'm going to let you hear the rest for yourself and where this whole thing went. I was able to meet and speak with them in the in the studio this afternoon, and this is what came with it, my very first pre-recorded session of Local Folk. And here you have it, folks, right here on WSCA 106.1 FM. Hey, everyone. This is Steve Carrigan from Local Folk, and I am here with a band that I saw last night down at the press room, and I thought they were just really the coolest band. I'm here with a band called Jesse Carolina and the Hot Mess, and I'm here with Jesse and the rest of the mess. Welcome to Local Folk.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. Hey, you know, you guys were playing a type of music last night that I really haven't heard very much of. I've heard very little of, and certainly not seen any of it around here. Please tell me, you called it traditional jazz?
Yeah. We do a lot of songs from the early 20s into the 30s. We don't try and make it sound like that music. We kind of do our own little thing with it. So I guess it sounds more modern.
But not in a chump way.
Not in a chump way.
there's a lot of these chumps that say that exact sentence, and they play traditional music and it sucks, and they're actually playing modern music. They're just playing traditional songs in modern style, and that sucks. It's really bad. But we tend to lean towards the older style.
That's right.
Well, let's
with a few modernisms thrown in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this. This is Jerome that just chimed
Jerome.
In. What's that?
Jerron.
Oh, Jerron.
Yeah.
All right. This is Jerron that just chimed in. Like, I have Mario, Jesse, Satoru, and Jerron.
Jerron.
Mm-hmm. All right. Right
named
on.
Named after Geronimo.
Oh, like Geronimo. All right.
Yeah.
Right on, Jerron. you know.
You're a squash man.
You know. It's all right. But what you just said is something that we talk about on Local Folk quite often, which is...
Sucks?
No. No, but what we do like to talk about, you know, how far you want to go and what kind of elements you want to bring to make the music your own.
Right.
And, for example, some people will take a traditional song, let's say, and then completely throw it on its ear add all kinds of elements to it that, you know, that that some people may not want. And I've found that a lot of people try to push the envelope, but they also stay within a comfort zone and also within what they feel is keeping to the truth. So what you're saying is that you feel that you're keeping to a tradition through what you're doing.
Yeah, we're not like experimenting you know, old jazz songs.
Yeah. We're playing old jazz songs.
We're playing old jazz songs.
But like us.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Well,
with personality.
Well, what I do have here, though, are some examples of things that could be considered source material, or some things that you gave me that that you were mentioning as source material. I'm just going to play a little bit of something right now.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like...
It's about knee drops, it sounds like.
Can you hear what it is?
That's knee drop.
That's knee drop. Okay. Let's just listen. Now, we're going to get to your CD in just a minute, but I wanted to talk about this at knee drop, for example. Who performed this?
Is that the Hot Fives or the Hot Sevens? That's the Hot Fives. That's the second Hot Fives.
Second
That's
Hot
the
Fives?
The first Hot Fives with Lil Hardin was replaced by Earl Hines.
Okay.
And a few other characters, a few other people on that record changed, if I ain't mistaken. But it's the second Hot Fives. It's I don't know if I'd say that about my favorite Hot Fives. Mostly because my favorite pianist is in there.
Oh, and you're the pianist of the
I'm the
of
pianist
the
and the banjoist and the second vocalist. And the master of Hokum.
The master of Hokum. What is Hokum?
Don't worry about it.
Tell him.
And there are certain things that are for my ears only. I'm a tumbler. For all my Ashkenazic friends out there, I'm the tumbler of the band.
The what of the band?
Don't worry. If you don't, if you know, you know, and if you don't, you know.
I don't know.
Baruch Hashem, I hire the tov. Go with God, all the good stuff.
All right. Well, you better not. You know, if I don't know, then I ain't gonna know. So that's. Hey, that's no problem. All right, so this band is important to you in what way? For example, I mean, it sounded a little bit similar to what you were doing, but what is it that you, you take a song, like, do you perform this song,
no.
for example?
No, we don't do this one.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
It's one of
my favorite things to do with music. It's not so much copy records, which bothers me when people do it a little too much, and they get mad at you when you don't copy a record note for note.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do is to take the elements about what makes a record good
mm-hmm.
and apply it to whatever I do. You know, this
it's
song
just an
is
idea.
Good. Yeah, this song is good because of God knows why, X, Y, and Z. And you try to put, you know, it's good because of the energy. It's good because of the arrangement. It's good mm-hmm. because of the intensity. It's good because it's laid back. It's, you know, several reasons why something would be good.
Yeah. So and then we kind of just get ideas from songs.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun. Let's do that on this other song.
And arrangement ideas.
Like, yeah.
We can give you a good example. I don't know if it's on the record or not, but we played the song Shine. Is Shine on this
I
record?
I want to play something
you
from your
what?
Record
I
next to give people an idea of what
Shine's
you sound like.
No, it's not.
Well, what is a song that's on there or a tune that's on there that that you like to share? And I'd love to play that for people right now.
Yeah. Mm.
What? Definitely don't play number 5.
I won't play number
don't
5.
Play number 5.
I heard about that one.
Yeah. Nasty language.
Yes, bad language.
And
I can't believe it.
And it just happened once. And I told y'all not to put that record on there, but you wouldn't listen to it.
It was too funny. Which one should we play?
I don't remember.
Well, I could just start.
How's Louisiana Fairy Tale sound? I remember that one being pretty all right.
I think that's okay. That was more of a mellow one.
Well, what number is that?
6.
The dew is ringing diamonds on the clover. The moon is listening to the nightingale. And while we're lost in dreams, the world around us seems like a Louisiana fairy tale. The breeze is softly singing through the willows as hand in hand we stroll along the trail. And love is at its height, enchanting us tonight like a Louisiana fairy tale. Is it real? Keep dreaming with your head upon my shoulder, and don't awake until the stars grow pale. The world is at our feet, the picture is complete, like a Louisiana fairy tale.
So tell me something about this. I was watching you guys last night, and there's 4 of you here, but this CD sounds like it's got a lot more going on in it. And you just mentioned to me this is a 6-piece that you normally play with?
Yeah, on this particular CD, there's 5 of us, because our guitarist was on tour. But usually we have an upright bass,
guitar,
you know, doing banjo. The bass line, and yeah, banjo, guitar. I sing and do percussion, and then Satoru and Mario play horns, either clarinet, trumpet, cornet, saxophone.
Trombone.
Who is the clarinet player?
Mario.
You guys can't hear it, but I was playing this stuff in the background. I was just listening to that clarinet. It sounds real smooth. But when I saw you all last night, I just have to
rowdy.
Explain to the audience that we had Jeron on piano, and then we had Mario on had many instruments.
Yeah, clarinet and baritone saxophone.
Okay, so he's got the saxophone on him, strapped to him, and the clarinet in his hands playing the clarinet. And then Satoru.
Satoru.
All right.
Okay.
Please, I apologize. Try to get it right. Yeah.
It's fine.
Satoru-san.
Hi.
All right. With a tuba.
It's called a sousaphone.
A sousaphone.
Yeah.
And
I should have remembered that because, you know, when I was in eighth grade, I used to play the sousaphone. What is the difference between the sousaphone and the... And, well, hold on a moment.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What is the difference between a sousaphone and a tuba?
Tuba is just a... How that's like holding in the front, but the sousaphone
wraps around
the body, and the bell is like twirling like the front.
Oh,
and it was invented by
John Philip Sousa.
John Philip Sousa.
Because he was the director of what kind of band?
Matching band.
Marching band.
I need to be a middle school teacher. You get a sticker.
You get a frowning
angry cloud.
Well, I should have known sousaphone because when I was in eighth grade, they said, Steve, you're bigger than, you know, a lot of these guys. You should sit down in front of this thing and play this. And wouldn't it be great to have a sousaphone? Uh-huh. So, you know, I guess I should have. So you've got your sousaphone wrapped around yourself and then you've got a coronet in front of you as well.
Right hand.
You know, Jerron's got his piano all set up and a banjo going on there. And
on top of the piano.
On top of the piano. And it looked like what may have been a whiskey, but you weren't on stage, so maybe it was okay. That must have just been water. And
it was hot apple juice. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Spicy apple juice.
Spicy apple juice.
And Jesse, you had a washboard, and then you also had, was that a hi-hat?
I mean,
it was bent up? I mean,
yeah, I've messed that up real bad. Just because it wasn't really working properly before, so I'd hit the pedal, and it wouldn't make a bright sound. Mm. It was very dull, so I just started hitting it with my hand to make it be like ping, and I kind of just kept doing that, and I'm breaking it.
Because were those picks, finger picks?
I wear sewing thimbles. Metal sewing thimbles.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I mean, I've seen people play with washboards before. Mm-hmm. How'd you get into that?
A long time ago when we'd go play in the park over in Washington Square Park busking, you know. When our friends would get together, everybody played guitar. I play guitar also. And when we play songs together, it just got to be really annoying to have like six guitarists. So I kind of said, I'm not doing this. I'll just try something new. And I picked up a washboard.
Now, you all came from, I would say, diverse musical backgrounds, let's say. So how did you all wind up congealing around this, coming around this type of music?
We were playing this kind of music and then got to know each other. And we all play in different bands and do different styles, but this was one style that we were all doing.
And from my perspective, it was almost a sort of thing where we all had different types of music that we all kind of primarily played. Uh-huh. Then one day we just said,
let's play jazz.
We all know these songs because we walk around the house just singing pop songs from the 20s, and we just said, hey, you know. Let's do this.
Yeah.
That's how I got in here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I met not through jazz stuff. We met because of...
C.W. Stone
because
King.
Because of C.W. Stone King.
And from my friend Chris Walker, who was a chump. And he fell asleep when he could have took me 20 minutes from where I was going to school and to Rosedale, New York to see C.W. Stone King. But he fell asleep. So he had to go from all the way from Poughkeepsie, New York, down to Brooklyn.
Where we met.
Mm-hmm. I met that night. It was in September 2008.
Yeah. Because I wanted to see CW.
And I wanted to see CW.
Yeah. And then we saw CW. Yeah, we started talking, became friends. And we've just been friends and playing
We were playing country blues.
We were playing country blues. Yeah.
Country blues. All kinds. I mean, so you're playing, you're in New York and you were playing all kinds of stuff, and you said, hey, we're singing this stuff at home. Why don't we make a band?
I was getting more serious about my piano playing at that time, and then I decided to go to the new school. And I came here in New York in 2010, mm-hmm. and Jesse was in New Orleans, and she called me up and said, this band I'm playing with wants somebody
to sing
and play piano if you want to play piano.
While I was gone.
While she was gone. And I did that, and I ain't left yet.
Yeah.
Hey, I love it. That's the way a band. That's the way a band should go. People mm-hmm. should join and stay with it and keep doing it. Hey, do you have anything on here that has some washboard and all that other stuff on this album, or is this
something more crazy?
Yeah, something crazy.
Yes, sir. That has the berry on it.
Yeah, it's got the banjo. That's a pretty fun
Is that
one.
A good one?
It's got banjo on it, too.
Okay, let's
banjo,
try that
cool.
one.
Banjo, cool. I love banjo.
It probably sounds most similar to what we were doing last night.
I think so.
Yeah.
So number three.
Let's listen to this.
I like to hear that. We ain't heard that in a long time.
Uh-huh. I don't know what it's going to sound like.
Boy, we need
I don't know. We're about to find out. Here we go. Now that was fun.
Yeah.
That song was super fun. Tell me about that song.
You didn't like the one before that?
No, I liked it before. I thought I just I really liked the song that I heard before, but I felt like I should be. It sounded more formal.
It was different.
Mm-hmm. It was different.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted a variety of things on that record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's we've got a few marches on there.
Some are pretty goofy.
Slower
pop
tune.
Straightforward.
Not straight ahead, but straight forward.
Yeah, this CD is, there's a lot of variety on this one.
Yeah.
So in the type of music that you that you guys are out playing all the time, do you choose your set list depending on the venue?
Mostly.
Yeah,
we really like variety when we play. And some places we play, one of our favorites is the Radagast Beer Garden in Brooklyn, and a lot of swing dancers show up. So mm-hmm. a lot of times we can't go insanely nuts and go crazy fast because there's people who wants to dance. And sometimes we do anyway just because we feel like it.
Yeah.
And there are a few people there that like insanely fast music that they can't dance to. But they try anyway. And it's fun to watch those high skirts go bleep, 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 bleep. And that's that's what we do.
But like for that same gig, we can't really do like the more laid back ones, like that first one, just because it's a rowdy bar and no one's going
to
hear it.
And we yep. play you acoustically. Know? We try yeah. to play acoustically most every place we go because that's how this music was. I like one reason I like it is because this music was done acoustically.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
And, you know, it was made back when people knew how to shut up and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know how to shut up and listen and you can't hear the vocals, well, you're lost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's how I feel about the music, you know, and a lot of times in places we play like Radagast, people who want to talk tend to go into another part, and people want to listen and dance go into another
front.
Part,
mm-hmm.
and it's very nice.
We don't need to use microphones.
But we don't need to use microphones.
Yeah.
So, but last night you were mic'd, correct?
Yeah, we were just being lazy.
We had mm-hmm. that was a long day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I mean, where you all were, I should let you know, on Friday nights there's what we're calling a traditional music session where people mm-hmm. can do essentially what they want, and there's no mics at all.
Mm-hmm.
People generally sit in a circle and they're playing and singing to each other. So I'm a lot of people on my show, you know, come to the music and say, yeah, no mics, we prefer not to have mics, we
yeah.
prefer not to use that kind of technology, and bring the listener to you.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, that ain't to say we don't sing out, because, you know, Jessie's known for her powerful voice, which is a great thing to have when you're playing acoustic music and you want to be heard.
Yeah.
My voice ain't as powerful as Jessie's, so
plenty loud.
A lot of times I just hold up my banjo and sing into it, and, you know, it just echoes, and just a hair to knock it up.
What happens when you sing into a banjo?
Just amplifies
just it.
The resonator, so
in the back.
And it throws it forward.
You kind of echo, like, why?
Yeah.
Really?
It helps. You know, it's also funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if other banjo players know this.
There's a banjo player from Sand Mountain, Alabama. I think he was in the New Lost. O'Connor, I think, or something like that. There was a clip of him on the documentary from PBS, which is Port Public Television. He was on there, and that was one of my favorite. That's where I learned to do it, as a matter of fact. He was in the woods in Alabama, and he was singing this ballad of the friends he knew and the people who raised him, and he was singing into his banjo. And it was a pretty cool thing, and I started doing that after I saw him do it.
It's really cool.
Oh, you copied him?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's okay. If you see something cool, you want to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah. Where do you mostly find your material that you decide to perform? Is it recorded material or?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Mine's just kind of random. I will find a singer I like, and I'll kind of go through songs, and then I find songs that I like, and then I try and find other performers that did that same song, and it's kind of, you know, like searching for new stuff. But there's stuff that I've heard for a long time, and I just
and
kind
it just,
of bring it
and
to
it
the
just,
band and
it just
say,
comes up.
Yeah, it's like, do you guys want to check this out? Like, do you like this? And then we just start talking and trying to figure stuff out.
Did you all grow up listening to this kind of music?
I didn't.
You did not?
I think we did in weird ways.
Like what?
Disney movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Disney movies has, like, you know, The Jungle Book is traditional jazz. The Aristocats is traditional jazz, you know.
Robin Hood's folk.
I don't remember Robin Hood.
Robin Hood's folk music.
Sounds good. And what was that? The 101 Dalmatians.
That's got that creepy little number in there.
Yeah, so a lot of this stuff. And with me, it was a thing.
That's true. I never thought about that.
The first music I grew up playing was bluegrass.
Uh-huh.
You know, playing fiddle and banjo. And my whole youth growing up, I was in love with it, but I didn't think it was real music because I thought it was just stuff, you know, I thought it was the Beverly Hillbilly soundtrack. And I was
That's
like,
true.
Nobody ever, this isn't real music. I love it to death, but you
they
know.
They only do it on TV.
Yeah, this is only TV music. And then my first CD was a record of Uncle Dave making.
Oh my God, that was your first CD?
Mm-hmm.
Mine's so embarrassing. My first CD was a Real McCoy CD.
I don't know who that
is. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
My first CD was a record.
Awesome.
Well, my first record was mine was older than yours, I bet. Well, that's another way I get material. I collect 78
right.
RPM records.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do.
My piano teacher is the one who started me. Brad Cave from Venice, California, is the one who started me collecting 78.
And I'm trying very hard not to get into that.
Do
habit.
Not collect 78
I'll
RPM.
I'll just go to
record.
Your house and listen.
Please do.
Because I'm
do.
Not. I don't want to get involved.
It's worse than drugs.
Worse than
it's
drugs.
It's worse than, it's addictive.
It's a bad habit.
It's an expensive, addictive habit.
Wow. It's like I work, so I can buy more 72 RPM.
78.
Sorry. Excuse me. I'm far from being a collector. I can see right now I have a lot
don't
to
even,
learn.
Don't even
This is good. This is a
there.
Way for me to be like, I don't know. No.
It's good. It's good.
But tell me, you mentioned Disney, and that brings up a certain point as well. Isn't it funny what we learn? And if you were to pick up a Disney movie of today or a cartoon
no idea
of
what
today.
They're doing now.
Well, I have a 2-year-old at home. I'll tell you what. I mean, they're doing something very different. They're doing like big, you know, big pop songs in there. You know, if you watched like we watched Pocahontas the other day, but you know what? I used to watch Looney Tunes.
We definitely grew up with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was all kinds of music.
Oh, and Raymond Scott, you know, you'd hear all that, thing, Powerhouse.
It's true. Yeah. I even remember watching, like Betty Boop stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I loved that stuff. I thought it was so funny.
On Cartoon Network, there was this thing that came on called Late Night Black and White.
Uh-huh.
And I used to stay up late to watch that.
It's like Bosco.
Yeah, it was like it was all old Popeyes and old Betty Boops, and it was like pop music. It was 20s pop. You know, they were playing Margie and just all these pop tunes from when these things were written.
What was the one with the Louis Armstrong where it's all messed up? Where he's the cloud in the face.
Oh.
You rascal, you.
Yeah.
You know, it's
But
crazy.
Even those are from the 30s. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were always good. And they were good. They were entertaining. You know, those cartoons and that music that accompanied them were extremely entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a youth, as like a 7-8-year-old kid, I just said,
you knew it was good.
That older stuff is so. And I didn't know it was which one was older and which one was.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I didn't have this.
They're all just cartoons.
I didn't have this bias, that I kind of have now. It's like, oh, it's older. It's most likely better. Back then, I just said, this one's not as good as this one. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but I just know I like these a lot more. Yeah.
I mean, you almost have the opposite bias of the rest of the world, which says if it's newer, it's better.
Well, we disagree.
No. Well, this is a plastic world, and I tend to lean towards wood.
Leaning towards wood.
Plastic is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, we should listen to some more of your music and share with the world. By the way, for you listeners, this program is Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I am here with Jesse Carolina and the Hot Mess. And we've been listening to some of their jazz music and some of their, well, we were calling it traditional jazz, and we're talking about where this stuff comes from and where, you know, we originally heard it. And I want to hear some more of your music and share it with them so that somebody out there can say, you know where I originally heard this music? I heard it on the radio program in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
What about China Boy?
Yeah. The clean China Boy.
We listen to the clean one. Now, I have to say this, and that is that... No, I thought that all traditional music was clean.
Well, no.
That's because you're dumb.
There is some real nasty, dirty songs from like...
You left before I sang one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we did some last night. But yeah, some of them could get pretty pretty raunchy.
Pretty raunchy. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So we have, you know.
So we're going to play a cleaned up version of what originally was not the not what you'd want to bring home to your mother.
It was clean.
We were just doing it our way.
It was a first take. And a lot of things went wrong in that first take, but we just kept plowing through it. And at one point, I slammed the piano lid and yelled profanity very loudly.
I see.
It was funny.
During
the instrumental number, and it was funny. So we kept it on the record.
Yeah.
And just wrote in very big letters, explicit lyrics.
So we're gonna do number 15.
Nice. Yeah, not number 5.
Right. All right, number 5 explicit, number 15 radio edit, China Boy. Here we go. As I reminded you earlier in the show, this is where we tried to find China Boy but had a hard time, so I think that I will just let you know that you are tuned in to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by the Seacoast Growers Association, presenting farmers markets in the Seacoast region for 32 years with local produce, meat, prepared foods, garden plants, and handcrafted goods. Seacoast Growers. .org. I think I might actually have a little bit more information for you as well. I want to let you know that Sean Colvin is coming June 27th, 2012 to the Riverhouse Restaurant Concert Series at Prescott Park, held in Prescott Park each Wednesday night. You'll find some top-notch and riveting performers from around the globe, all offered in a gorgeous setting for a mere suggested $8 to $10 donation. Now that is a deal, Prescott Park Arts Festival. I tell you what, during the day I worked down at Prescott Parks, keeping those gardens really nice, and boy, it's a beautiful place to see the show. Now back to local folk here on WSCA 106.1 FM. Is this the one?
Let me see.
No, that's after you've gone.
Maybe 16.
Try 16.
We're going to try 16. And we can do this because this is local radio. Here we go.
No, that's not it. China Boy must not be on there. And there's no number 17?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any China Boy in here except the dirty...
Looks like we just gotta put this.
Whoa!
Well, what is this? What are we listening to here? Because
this is I'll see you in my dream. I'll see you in my dream.
Well, let's listen to this for a minute. This is pretty cool.
Do that either.
I don't.
Not for any unradio friendly reasons.
Let's do. Why don't we do it with you singing?
Yeah, I'd like to hear something like that.
Oh, yeah, Nobody's Sweetheart is good. Try number two.
Try number two. Now, if this turns out to be the China one, you got to let me know.
Oh, we'll let you know.
Psych.
I wonder how that happened.
What's this here? Okay, so this is what you intended. We're going to kick back and listen right here on WSCA 106.1 FM. Thank you.
all within that big bird of paradise. What a pretty little flower. It all seems wrong somehow that you're nobody's sweetheart.
You are tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA, Portsmouth Community Radio. That song sounded like, if you're not getting up and moving a little bit when that song is playing, then I don't know what to tell you. There's no hope. There's no hope.
There's something wrong with you, man.
I think there's something wrong with you. Hey, but now we have to get to the gritty underbelly of the musical world, and that is
and wash yourself.
And that
is,
oh my God.
And well, and that subject is being a gigging band.
Yeah.
Are you all a full-time gigging band?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What does that look like, really? And what percentage of the time are you playing music, and what percentage of the time are you doing other stuff? Mario, how much time do you spend driving compared to playing music?
Oh, my God.
way more driving than music on tour, that's for sure.
Way more driving than music on tour, sure.
6 hours of driving, 2 hours of playing.
Mm-hmm. Six. I asked somebody that was on a few months ago. I said, "So you're gigging music. What do you think would be more important, taking a music class or taking a safe driving class?"
Safe driving.
Mario drives pretty
safe. Yeah, he's great.
It says so on my license.
Yes, it does say so on your license. Yeah. Safe driver.
So it's about six. So it's life on the road can kind of get to you a little bit. And then there's also the booking. Do you book when you're driving, or do you set the whole thing up beforehand, or what?
I pretty much do everything before.
Before.
I try my hardest to get a gig every night that we're on the road.
Yep.
Except Shabbat.
I try not to do Saturdays for Jaron. But it's a lot of work beforehand, especially if you're going into new cities that have no idea who you are and you have no idea what's there. But like, it's on the way to some place you want to get to, so you got to call and see if there's someone that'll talk to you about booking you, you know, or email and then send another email and another email when they don't get back to you, and keep track of all the stuff you're doing and trying to see if this is still going to be the same path you're taking to get to another city. And then you got to talk to people about, you know, guarantees and money, and that's always a pain because none of us have a real job. So, you know, I have to work really hard to make sure that we can survive as musicians, you know. So it can be really trying.
And it's a real thankless job. It's a real thankless job. So thank you, Jesse.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now it's not thankless anymore.
Yeah, I thank you for coming.
I'm not whining. I'm just saying it is hard, but
it's a pain.
You know, at the end of the day, when we're playing music at a show, it's worth it because I have a lot of fun doing this stuff, you know. So just like how it is a total drag to drive for 6 hours,
yeah,
and it's a drag to be on the computer and on the phone with your ear falling off, you know, and trying to like make sure all of our schedules go together, because that's really hard.
I play solo a lot of times, mm-hmm, playing country, blues, and old time music and other things, and I have to be Jesse for myself for about 2 hours.
Yeah,
I have to, you know, be on the phone for about 2 hours, and I went insane. I said, I can't do this. No, this ain't me. I can't do it. But that's the thing. We all play in different bands and different sort of setups. All six of us, in fact.
Yeah.
So we've got six different schedules. And Jesse's thankless job is to organize those schedules and see when can all six of us be together.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that little,
try to get
that
a gig.
Little window of time, say, hey, we've got this time to be on the road. So,
how do you coordinate schedules then?
It's
magic.
Just insane.
Jessie's
it's really
a witch.
Insane. Boom. Boom, I'm a ghost.
she slows down time.
I thought so.
She catches people when they have free gigs.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also being on the phone with them a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and
text
just having a crazy looking calendar, you know, with blocks of red for when people aren't available that day, you know, blocks of blue for this might be a gig this day, you know, and then calling and texting and being like, are you free? What time? Oh, wait, you have a gig like midway through that. Can you do the last two sets instead of the first two? And just, you know, switching and... It's madness.
Is that why you had a four piece here this time, because the other two couldn't make it, or was it a money thing, or was it a...
It was both.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because doesn't that stink about having a six piece band? You got to make money.
Yeah, you know, but...
I mean, I hate to say
it. Sometimes it's just like that.
Yeah.
So it was money and also the scheduling thing. There was another gig happening that we wouldn't be able to drive that person back down to do a gig and then come back up here.
Money,
so gas alone,
and
that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, I'm thinking like what it must cost to fill up. They have this van. It's like what year is that van, anyways?
1999.
Uh-huh.
All right, so it's like before the aughts.
Dodge conversion.
It's a big
van.
Dodge conversion van.
Yeah.
I mean, that must just drink like a gas, like a drunken, drunk.
Drunken like a drunk. Gas drink.
Yeah, that thing.
It's
$100
easily.
About every fill up, about?
Like roughly. 80, depending on where we are.
I remember when it used to cost me like $10 to fill up my tank. It was like a small four cylinder.
I remember before we was free, but, you know, we ain't going back that far.
But yeah, I mean, that's the other thing too, is we gotta always take care of the van,
yep,
you know, and that thing's
we have to play gigs for the van.
For the van.
Yeah.
Just fix things that go wrong with it.
And a lot has gone wrong with that. The last tour we did,
we got some thank yous.
Yeah, we do have some serious thank yous for the...
Yeah. The Jazz Foundation
of America got us out of a really big pickle
because
we were stranded in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Unbelievable. The Jazz Foundation got you out of it?
Yep, they donated a lot of money.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's unbelievable. So you guys are associated with different associations and things like
that? Well, we do benefits for them.
You do benefits.
They're very
and,
sweet people.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do a very noble thing.
Why don't you tell them about what the Jazz Foundation is?
I don't know. I probably don't know as much about them as you do. But what I do know is they help out older and, heck, younger jazz musicians like us
who get in tough spots. So during Katrina, there were tons of musicians who were out of work and who were homeless through no fault of their own, you mm-hmm. know, and they helped them out. They paid medical bills. They paid for hotels from the city, and they paid for houses. They paid for new instruments so they can get back on their feet.
And they get all their money from donations.
And they get every penny from donations, and they're a sweet group of people, and they helped us out, you know.
We were stuck, we
had to get towed
from Myrtle Beach,
South Carolina to Wilmington, North Carolina. And we were stuck there. Half of the band was stuck there for a week. And then they, Jesse and Mario, had to stay down there for another week, another week and a half to get the van fixed.
So it
was racking up money that we couldn't possibly afford. So we were stuck. We couldn't get back to New York on this van.
We'll give them a plug. If you want to give some money to these guys, what are they called again?
The Jazz Foundation of America.
And if you want to learn more about Jesse Carolina and the Hot Mess, you can visit their website.
That's right.
We also like to thank everybody from swing dancers to people who just liked our music. When we posted on our Facebook and on our website what had happened about the van, and we got a great outpouring of financial support and just from everybody,
in a day.
How many fans how many people do you maintain contact with as fans?
I think our Facebook page is over 1,500.
1,500, okay,
that's
great. Mm. Well, I mean, then you can be found on Facebook. Yeah. I'm going to go look you up right when I go home. And I just want to let you know, I want to thank you all for having come in. I saw you last night and said, can you come in today? And you said yes. And I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to share this stuff with the rest of New Hampshire and Portsmouth. So, and we hope you come to town again soon.
We'll try to come back as often as we can.
I hope so. I'm gonna be on your Facebook page, so I'll know when you're gonna be here again. And the website is Jesse Carolina Hot Mess, which is JESSYCAROLINAHOTMESS.com. And you can go get all the information that you need from there. CDs for sale there, I think.
They do have CDs for sale. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And that's the bottom line. Thanks for coming in, guys.
No problem.
I want to play
a
song
you.
For these guys. I'd like to leave with something, and I'm just wondering what you think would be a good one to leave with.
What about old times?
Yeah, it seems like old times.
Hopefully it's number 12.
hopefully it's number 12 and it's called Old Times.
Yeah, seems like old times.
Seems like old times.
I got that from a Wooden Joe Nicholas record. And it's a good thing. We ain't been here in about 2 years. And it just seems like old times here with you.
All right, guys. Thanks again. And we'll see you all next time on Local Folk.
Making dreams come true. Talk with